It's an old story, a stale marriage, an empty nest, a midlife crisis, and then suddenly there's a third party intimately involved in the relationship causing chaos. Although, you'd think it might be easier on the wife if her competition were a dog, but in A.R. Gurney's comedy Sylvia, Sylvia is a dog, a real dog, a leg-lifting, crotch-smelling, shoe-chewing dog, and an abandoned pup that attaches herself to a needy guy can prove to be quite a fetching rival. The play runs at the Court Theater until January 24th. I'm very pleased that it has brought Matthew Broderick and Julie White, who play the married couple, back to our show. Welcome.
Thank you.
And to Annalee Ashford, who plays the title role of Sylvia, that four-legged canine femme fatale. I'd just like to say, hey. I don't do it as well as you do, Annalee, but I'm sure you recognize the universal dog hello.
Oh, absolutely. I experienced it this morning with my girl, Grace.
Do you ever bring your dog to the theater?
You know what? She hasn't made an appearance at the Court Theater yet, mostly because I'm worried if she's in my dressing room during the show that she will bark when I yell, hey. She probably would.
Was she part of your research in preparing for the role?
She absolutely was. We took obedience, agility, and sheep herding together this summer in L.A., and she teaches me something new every day. She had an experience this morning with a chicken bone that I probably will use tonight in the play.
But I also understand that you read Temple Grandin and some other books to prepare?
Yes, I read 9 dog books over the summer, 2 fiction, 7 nonfiction. The two that were most helpful, I think, was Patricia McConnell's The Other End of the Leash. She's an animal behaviorist. And the other was Temple Grandin's Animals in Translation, and it's a great exploration of the way that animals see the world.
Matthew, do we know if there's an autobiographical element for A.R. Gurney in this play? It seems just too real to be true, not be true.
He says it's very much what happened to him, that he and his wife he had to move with her to the city, and he had nothing to do, and got this dog and walked all over the city and met all sorts of people, and that's how the play started.
And is there any better way to see New York than through the eyes of a dog, or any better way to meet other people when you...
Depends who you want to meet.
Yeah.
But
meet a lot of other dog people.
Yeah, but it's great. When I lived in this very neighborhood where we're airing this from. Where are we? In Varick. I lived right near here. And
in the South Village or what's I guess
Charleston
West Tribeca.
Street. Yeah, I lived about a block from here and would walk my dog much like this play all over, and I got to know this neighborhood that way and a lot of interesting people.
Julie, is this play as much fun to do every night as it is to watch?
Oh, gosh. I hope so. I mean, I hope it's super fun to watch. It seems like it is. I mean, I kind of have to be the heavy. I'm the person who doesn't want a dog right now.
Yeah, and so. Normally you're the one who gets the laughs, but here you pretty much play the straight comedy role.
A little bit.
She gets her laughs.
I can sneak around the corner and get one or two. But, I think that though there's a lot of people out there who identify with it. Like, you get to a certain point in your life and you think you're done with that day-to-day taking care of a creature that needs something from you, such as your children. And they go off to college, and there is sort of a little, like, dancing in the streets moment for parents. And at that point is when this husband brings home another... thing that you have to feed every day and walk twice a day. And
But it isn't an empty nest anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you have a dog?
I do. I have a little tiny dog who almost doesn't count as a dog because she's so little. Lulu, the Pomeranian.
So your dog has a people name. Annalee, your dog have a people name?
Grace, after Gracie Allen.
And Matthew?
Kissy, our 2-year-old son named her.
That's good. So.
When the kid names the dog, it's always you have to apologize for it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I was once in the park and I heard a guy say, Bagel, come here, Bagel, Bagel, this way.
What kind of a dog do you have?
It is a little rat. It's called a rat terrier, a little white dumpling with feet.
Is it fair to describe this play as a love triangle?
I suppose so.
No,
Absolutely.
I think he goes that way, a little bit. He pushes the button. But in the play, very often, Gurney makes you think you're looking at one thing and then kind of pulls the rug out from under you.
Where's Greg in his life when the play begins?
Well, he's pretty, I think he's pretty unhappy. I mean, with his children gone as part of it, and then also you hear that he really doesn't like his job, that he never liked it, and now he really, really doesn't like it.
And then, of course, Julie, there's his wife's sudden ambition.
Well, I think she's been going back to school in between parenting, and now as the children grew up, that really took over an emptiness in her life, got filled with ambitious and creative projects. So she's not around very much to make him feel better.
Yeah, he's going down as she's going, as she's starting to enjoy her career, his is fading into just dullness.
And he's looking for someone to look up to him.
Yeah, as the psychiatrist in the play says, he wants the worshipful daughter that left. But you can look at it that way. But also it's just a really cute dog comes up to him in the park.
How does he find Sylvia? Does he find her or does she find him?
She jumps into his lap is what he claims.
Yeah,
right?
And I always kind of imagine that she does say in the play, like, I saw you sitting on that bench and simply say to myself, that's the man I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the question here is who's rescuing whom in this relationship? There's a hilarious scene where Greg asks Sylvia about her previous owner, and she says, second owners always wonder that. But doesn't she imply it's more than a rescue, that she chose him?
Absolutely. I think there's an unspoken, mysterious language that we have with our animals, not just pups, with all animals in general. And I think that all of us who have a pup in this room know the moment that we met them, that we always feel like they came to us. I know that when we saw Grace, we felt like she only had eyes for us. So it was love at first sight.
You won a Tony for your role as Essie, the ballet-obsessed daughter, and you can't take it with you. Are Essie and Sylvia alike in their childlike natures and optimism?
They are such different ladies.
Well, they're very different physical roles.
They're so different physically, but they're also... Sylvia has a potty mouth, and she grew up on the streets. She's a rough and tumble kind of girl. And Essie was much more of a family sort of New York lady. But they both have a childlike quality. Sylvia, as the play progresses, she becomes more and more womanly, especially when she goes through heat.
Now, Matthew, you have said that Emily reminds you of Harpo Marx in this role.
Yeah. Well,
although she doesn't have the horn. Oh, oh.
Yeah, well, I forget the context of that, but it was... what I meant is there's a disruptive, hilarious quality, that the way Harpo can come in and turn things into mayhem. Feels a little like that with Sylvia.
She doesn't have a horn, but
she doesn't
has
have
that
a horn.
Bark.
She has the bark, and
she seems so good natured. Greg even says it's like she laughs. I've seen her laugh, and Kate says about her, she practically laughed in my face when I tried to discipline her, and she does. She laughs her way through the way a great looking Labrador Retriever or a Golden just always has that smile on its face. I think of her as a Golden.
Well, dogs are also like clowns in the way that they see things in extremes, the same way that children do. When something is sad, it is like the saddest thing that ever happened. And when something is happy and when something goes well, it is like the best day ever,
My guests are Annalee Ashford, Matthew Broderick, and Julie White, who are all starring in a revival of Sylvia, A.R. Gurney's comedy. It's at the Court Theater on a limited run, just running through
January
24th. And then that's it?
Yeah.
So you better hurry up.
You all have other things to do?
Oh, I'm not at liberty to speak of them, but I have many, many things lined up.
Julie,
we all do.
To a great extent, it's Kate's reactions that make the play work, that make it real, because isn't she the only one who's kind of grounded in reality?
Well, sometimes I do feel like I'm like the maypole, the fixed object that's so much. Because Pete does choose to tell this story in such a crazy and fanciful way.
They are currently being called Pete by people know him.
So sorry.
Right?
But But really, at its heart, it is a very sort of painful story and a difficult one of a marriage that it's like, how do you stay married as you grow and change through life? Or how do you weather a bad spell? And it takes a lot of compromise and compassion. And ultimately, Greg has it for Kate, and then Kate turns around and has it for Greg.
Well, is she guilty of being insensitive to Greg, at least at first?
Yes, but in the way you can get with your spouse, with someone that you're with for many years, and they start, you kind of don't listen as much as you should, or you don't take their problem that seriously. You're like, really? Come on. You know, we have places to go and things to do, and just get over it.
Well, although Sylvia is irresistible, Kate takes a real dislike to her.
Well, I wouldn't say it's that necessarily. In the first scene I have with her, I really kind of find her charming. And I tell her specifically, it's not that I don't like dogs. I just don't want a dog right now. The dog phase of my life is over. I've had many dogs. And you'll be happier somewhere else.
You're happy that the empty nest situation allows you a certain amount of personal freedom.
Yes, and we're taking Spanish lessons, and we're hanging out with our friends, and we're going on weekend trips to the country. I mean, everything, to me, in Kate's vision, is going pretty good. But apparently, Greg has a sort of an empty space inside that needs a furry filler.
Now, Matthew, I think the first time I met your wife, Sarah Jessica Parker, was when she came here to talk about Sylvia, first production of it, and she was just brilliant in it. There another little triangle going on here?
Well, I guess there could be, but she was really helpful. She came to a lot of previews and tried to help me a great deal. She
gave you notes?
Yeah.
You don't mind?
No, I like them. We all have a few people who we allow to tell us what they think, and she's mine. And she loved Anna Lee, but she just zeroed in on me. Sometimes I was like, well, what do you think of the dog? What do you think of Kate? No, but you should. So it was always me. But she was trying to help me, and she did help me. She was enormously helpful.
Her other career as a director.
Yeah, and she's very, very smart about it.
Did she talk to you at all about playing the role, Anna Lee?
Oh, my gosh. I remember the first time that she came to see the show, we were all backstage, and she couldn't have been more beautiful and loving and generous as a fellow actor. And, you know, it's just an honor to get to explore the blueprint that she left behind every night.
Well, you have the advantage of also having Pete Gurney and other and former cast members to consult, because there's always something new to be learned about a character.
Yeah, I got to talk to Molly Gurney, Pete's wife, and
who you think it's really based on?
Yeah.
Well, he says it. He says so.
Yeah.
He says when she had a question about the play, and Pete said, "Ask Molly."
Yeah.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
About the dog, you know, do I understand the dog?
And, right, do I? Can? Yeah,
she said, you have to ask Molly.
Molly always says, I love your anger.
Had you and Sarah Jessica gotten together at the point when that play was produced? Did she already practice that gaze of adoration on you?
You mean her Sylvia gaze of adoration? A little bit, you know, the early days. No, we were very much together, and I still remember her performance, and Charles Kimbrough, who played my part, who was wonderful too, and Blythe Danner, and the whole show was a beautiful little thing, and was very, very happy to have a chance to make our go at it.
It was fun rehearsing it with Matthew. You could tell it had been a very romantic time for him, because also Sarah based a lot of her dog mannerisms on Matthew's border collie.
Border collie mix, yeah.
Named Sally.
Sally, exactly. Good old Sally.
Now, Anna Lee, we talked about some of the books that you read, but I understand you also attended obedience school and sheep herding school with your dog?
Yes, we
did.
No,
she left the dog at home and learned to... herd sheep on her own.
At one point, they did kind of...
Which is really hard.
It's so hard.
It's really, really hard. It actually is really hard. I mean, the other thing, too, is they put... When you go to sheep herding class, they tell you that you have to pass an instinct test first. And it costs $60. And I was like, I mean, we had a little talk. I said, Grace, if you don't pass this test, you owe me $60. She passed it with flying colors.
But the dog was a shepherd, so...
She's an Australian shepherd. She's a toy, so she's a little one. But she did amazingly well in that instinct test, and then we went back every week. And in obedience class, they were like, wow, you really come a lot. You've been coming every day, and then I had to kind of explain myself. And they were extremely supportive and thrilled of you know, my new role as a dog.
There are two theories about dog training, and one of them is that the dog trains us.
Absolutely. You know, when you're in obedience class, most, I would say 95% of the time, if your dog isn't doing what you're asking it to doing, what you're asking it to do, you're doing the wrong thing. It's you.
When the play opened the first time, Vincent Campy, who was then reviewing for the New York Times, rhapsodized about Lassie and Nana, and he called the play critic-proof. But then when Charles Isherwood reviewed it, his review in the Times started out tongue-in-cheek, calling Greg a psychopath, and he accused him of bestiality.
Wow.
And then he confessed that he was a cat person.
Yeah.
That is a great review.
I might not agree with him.
Also, that's such a great reminder that everybody walks into the theater with their own history. And it's also a great reminder that some of us love cats and some of us love pups. And I think we all love pups in the room.
I have both. I have a cat and a dog.
I like them all.
So there.
I mean, I like them all, too. I shouldn't have said
It's good when they get along.
Yeah.
Just one more thing. We have very little time, but I always want to ask actors this and rarely do. Does everything change when you start performing before an audience? You work things out in rehearsal and then...
Yeah.
In the case of this play, especially, everything changed because we didn't realize how funny it was.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. The audience came and, oh my God, hilarity ensued.
The band just came in.
Ticket information on our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Matthew Broderick, Julie White, and Annalee Ashford. We've been talking about Sylvia, which is currently at the Court Theater and is running until January 24th, so you don't have a lot of time. Thank you all so much for seeing.
Thank you.
For being here.
Our pleasure.
Very nice
Thank
to
you.
See you.